Welcome to Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Broder, and today we'll begin Sefer Yonah and learn through Perek Aleph. I'd like to start out by raising a few questions, some of which we'll answer today, and others that we'll explore together over the next 3 days that we learn this Sefer. First, why is Sefer Yonah included in Tanakh? After all, B'nai Yisrael aren't even in it. Radak offers an answer that the story is meant to give us Musar. The non-Jews of Nineveh received only one warning from a Navi, and immediately they did tshuva. B'nai Yisrael, on the other hand, had Nevi'im repeatedly tell them to do tshuva, but they weren't so quick to change. And even for us today, we are reproached about what we're doing wrong, but we aren't always ready and willing to accept it and change our ways. So there's a lot of Musar for us to take from the actions of the people of Nineveh. Another reason that Yonah is part of our scripture is because Hashem did miracles for Yonah, like keeping him alive inside a fish for 3 days. When we hear about the miracles that Hashem does, it strengthens our belief in Hashem. And third, this story shows that Hashem is merciful towards those who do tshuva. So even though in this particular case it's non-Jews who repent, there's an important message for us to learn about the power of repentance. Now that we know why Sefer Yonah is included in Tanakh, we still will want to understand why we read this Sefer as the Haftorah and Mincha time on Yom Kippur. First, it's very unusual to read an entire multi-chapter Sefer as a Haftorah. But more importantly, why was Sefer Yonah chosen to be read on Yom Kippur? It's true that Sefer Yonah involves people doing tshuva, but as we'll see in Perek Daled, it's more than that. Another question that we'll discuss is about the connection between Yonah and Noach. There are a lot of parallels in the two stories. Both involve people committing the sin of Hamas, robbery. In both stories, the protagonists go on a boat. And of course, both stories involve a Yonah. In our Sefer, it's the name of the Navi. And in Parshas Noach, it's the dove that Noach sends out of the ark to check for dry land. Perhaps one could chalk all those similarities up as coincidences. But there are other connections that are so uncanny as to make it clear that we're meant to compare these two stories. In Sefer Yonah, the Navi runs away to a city called Tarshish. You might be surprised to learn that this same name, Tarshish, is found in the Noach story, if you look in Perek Yud, Pasuk Dalet. Not only that, in our Sefer, Yonah is commanded to go to the city of Nineveh. Incredibly, there's a city with the identical name mentioned in Parshat Noach. See Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph. And so, as we go through Sefer Yonah, particularly in Perek Bet, we'll explore what we're meant to learn from these similarities. We'll also see that there are many parallels between Yonah and Eliyahu HaNavi. When we get to the fourth Perek, we'll discuss what those similarities are and why it makes sense for Yonah to resemble Eliyahu. Okay, so let's dive into the first Perek of Sefer Yonah. In Pasuk Aleph, Hashem calls out to Yonah ben Amittai. He was a Navi that you might remember from Malachim Bet as being a student of Elisha and who had anointed one of the kings of Malchai Yisrael. In Pasuk Bet, Hashem tells Yonah, Kum lech el Nineveh ha'ir ha'gdolah ukra aleha ki alta ra'atam lefanai. Yonah should go call out to Nineveh because their wickedness has risen up before Hashem. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, Ashur, which was the ruling empire at that time. At this point in our story, Hashem didn't tell Yonah what he should say to the people of Nineveh, just that he should go there to speak to them. But we know, based on what happens later, that Hashem wants Yonah to warn the people of Nineveh of their impending destruction if they don't change their evil ways. There's an obvious question about why Hashem would send a Navi to tell a non-Jewish nation to repent. Several answers are given. According to Ibn Ezra, Nineveh had only recently started sinning, and their sins didn't include worshiping idols. For those two reasons, Hashem had compassion on Nineveh and wanted to give them a chance to repent. The Malbim has a different view. Hashem planned to use Assyria in the future to punish B'nai Israel for their sins. Assyria would destroy the northern kingdom of Israel and exile the ten Shvatim. But Hashem wouldn't use a nation that was worse than B'nai Israel to punish B'nai Israel. So in order for Assyria to function as a tool of Hashem in disciplining B'nai Israel, Hashem wanted Nineveh to repent from their wrongdoing. This way, they would be worthy of acting as Hashem's messenger. The next pasuk tells us Yonah's reaction to this instruction from Hashem. Vayakam Yonah levroch Tarshisha milifnei Hashem. Yonah gets up and goes on a boat headed to Tarshish in order to run away from before Hashem. We have two questions about Yonah's actions. First, why does he want to run away? Why doesn't he want to give Nineveh a warning? Second, how can Yonah, a Navi, think that it's possible to run away from Hashem? There are several possible answers to the first question of why Yonah doesn't want to warn Nineveh. One answer is given by the Malbim. If the people of Nineveh did tshuva, then, as we mentioned before, Assyria would be worthy to become the tool of Hashem to punish Bnei Israel. Yonah loves Bnei Israel and doesn't want this to happen. He's willing to do anything to prevent Bnei Israel from getting punished, even trying to avoid doing what Hashem wants. Rashi takes a slightly different approach, but still with the idea that Nineveh doing tshuva would be bad for Bnei Israel. Yonah senses that the people of Nineveh will repent right away. If we contrast that with Bnei Israel needing multiple warnings to do tshuva, and even then constantly reverting back to wrongdoing, this doesn't look good for Bnei Israel. So again, due to Yonah's love for Bnei Israel, he's choosing to evade his responsibility of warning Nineveh in order to protect the standing and honor of Bnei Israel. We see that Yonah had good reasons for not wanting to go to Nineveh. He was trying to protect the Jewish people. However, as Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains, our job is to follow the will of Hashem and not to rationalize whether we think it's a good thing to do or not. Our knowledge is limited while Hashem's is infinite, so our rationalizations can never outweigh what Hashem says. Therefore, Yonah was wrong for trying to run away from his obligations. We're still left with our second question. How could Yonah have thought that it was possible to run away from Hashem? If we look back carefully at Pasuk Bet, we see that Yonah wasn't actually trying to run away from Hashem. It doesn't say that Yonah ran away mipnei Hashem, from Hashem. Instead, it says that he ran away milifnei Hashem, from the presence of Hashem. How is this different? Well, let's first remember that Hashem hadn't yet told Yonah what to say to Nineveh. Hashem had just said that Yonah should go to Nineveh. Yonah anticipated what Hashem was going to tell him, and so he tried to run away from the presence of Hashem, meaning from being where Hashem could give him the actual nevuah. He didn't want to hear the nevuah, because once he did, he would have been obligated to deliver it. Yonah was running away in order to prevent himself from being in a circumstance where he could get nevuah. How did he do this? According to Rashi, Yonah was going to Tarshish, which is in Chutz La'aretz, because nevuah is given in Eretz Yisrael. The Malbim offers a similar idea. Yonah knew that a person can only get nevuah when he is in a calm state. He therefore chose to go on a boat in the ocean because the danger of such a journey makes people who are at sea anxious and therefore ineligible to receive nevuah. And we see that Yonah was actually correct. He didn't get nevuah while at sea. What Yonah didn't count on was that Hashem would find a way to bring him back to dry land. We see this in Pasuk Dalet, where Hashem makes a huge storm that threatened to break the ship. In Pasuk He, the sailors start to throw their cargo overboard to try to lighten the load. Meanwhile, the Pasuk tells us, "V'Yonah yarad el yarkatei hasfina, v'yishkav v'yaradam," that Yonah went down below deck and fell asleep. Yonah realized that Hashem brought the storm in an attempt to get his attention, but Yonah now metaphorically runs away by going to sleep. In Pasuk Vav, the captain finds Yonah and says to him, "Malacha nirdam, kum kura lolokecha. How can you be sleeping? Get up and call to your God." The sailors finally decide to draw lots to see who is bringing about the turbulence they were facing. Rashi explains that the other boats in the sea were sailing in calm waters, and so they concluded that the storm was caused by someone on their boat. The Pasuk uses the plural for lots, goralot, because one lottery wouldn't necessarily give them information. After all, it had to fall on someone. But if it fell on the same person time and time again, then they would know that the lottery had significance. And that's exactly what happened. Each time it fell on Yonah. In Pasuk Chet, the sailors ask Yonah who he is. He replies in the next Pasuk with a famous line, "Ivri anochi, v'et Hashem Elokei Hashemayim ani yarei, asher asa tayam v'et hayabasha. I'm a Jew and I fear Hashem, the God of the heavens, who created the sea and the land. One thing that strikes us in Yonah's response, and that it's clear that he has complete emunah in Hashem. He plainly asserts that Hashem controls the entire earth, both the sea and the dry land. This makes it apparent that Yonah was never trying to run away from Hashem. The Abarbanel explains why Yonah refers to himself as an Ivri here. Yonah is showing that he is fully aware that he is over, meaning that he has transgressed the word of Hashem. If this is the case, then Yonah realizes that he is going against what Hashem wanted, and he knows that the raging sea is a message for him to change course. And yet, when the sailors ask in Pasuk Yud Aleph what they should do to calm the sea, Yonah doesn't tell them to take him back to shore. That would have been the sensible thing to say, because certainly Hashem would have stopped the storm if Yonah agreed to comply with Hashem's wishes. Instead, in Pasuk Yud Bet, Yonah says that the sailors can quiet the raging sea by throwing him overboard. Presumably, he expects to drown when he's thrown in the sea. So why would Yonah choose this? Again, Yonah knows that he's wrong, and that if he simply does what Hashem wants, his life will be spared. But he's choosing death instead. Why? We see here Yonah's incredible Mesiras Nefesh for B'nai Yisrael, that his love for B'nai Yisrael trumped everything else, even his own life. He would rather die than be the one to cause B'nai Yisrael harm, whether by enabling Assyria to punish B'nai Yisrael or by making B'nai Yisrael look bad compared to the people of Nineveh. As we said before, Yonah's thinking is flawed, but his intentions are completely pure. In spite of Yonah's directive to throw him overboard, the sailors try to row back to shore. But in Pasuk Yud Gimel, we see that the storm prevents them from doing so. In Pasuk Yud Dalet, the sailors beg Hashem not to punish them for what they're about to do to Yonah. And then, in Pasuk Tetvav, they cast Yonah into the sea. At that moment, the sea stops raging. The perek ends with Pasuk Tetzayin, in which the sailors bring sacrifices to Hashem, and Vayidru Nedarim, they made vows. According to Radak, this means that they promised to give tzedakah. But Rashi interprets these words to mean that the sailors converted to Judaism. After seeing the awesome power of Hashem, there was no way that they could deny that he is the true God. This is a powerful way for the perek to end, because it's the first instance of tshuva in Sefer Yonah, the sailors turning away from idol worship and accepting Hashem. We'll see this theme again in the next perek. I look forward to sharing that with you.